Well, let's welcome back, continuing our series here, looking tonight here at the Sioux City Explorers and doing so with the incredible Dan Vaughn. Dan, thanks for joining Kevin and I.
Let's go Axes. Let's go Axes. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait. Hello, guys. How you doing? Good to see you. Good to see you. Talk to you. Whatever we're doing. We're talking here, right? Good to talk to you.
You know, I have to tell you, Dan, that I began each of these segments by asking the broadcaster to talk about keys to how the team got to the playoffs in the first place. But, I mean, we got to be honest with you. The biggest key for why Sioux City is where they are right now is because the guy who took over as the broadcaster when the season began. And you got to own up to that right now, I would say.
Yeah, you know, this team really needed a broadcaster that could really guide them and help them make the plays, help them hit better, really, really find the strike zone and just really find the momentum. And a guy who's a real leader, a broadcaster who leads by example, and really just takes the troops up the hill, the battle. That's what they needed. They got it, dadgummit.
Well, you know, this has been a very interesting season for the Explorers. Got off of that super fast start, Dan, and have been in some slumps, played very well at times. What kind of team should we expect here for the playoffs from the Explorers?
Oh, you know, that is what I've been asking myself for the last couple of hours, really. The fifth inning of the game on Labor Day, because it looked like, okay, Labor Day, you're up 3-0. You feel pretty good about it. You're getting a really good effort from Bronny Munoz. Your offense has been clicking fairly well, except for Sunday in Chicago. You've been getting some double-digit hits. As a matter of fact, since John Nagowski's back, you've been hitting around 300 as a team. I mean, it looked like the Sioux City Explorers recipe, which is great starting pitching, score 5 runs, and the bullpen locks you down. Well, you got good starting pitching. You scored 3 runs, and the bullpen gave up 10. And I'm like, well, I'm not sure what to expect. To be honest with you, I do know this, that you've got a deep rotation. That's a start right there. And the Nagowski effect means a lot to this ball club. But I honestly, I don't really know what you're going to see Wednesday. The team's played well in Fargo. The Fargo's been playing really well. They finished 8 of their last 10 in the win column. You know, this club did go 4-4 on a road trip, including taking 2 or 3 in Kansas City. But I don't really know what to expect. I don't really know. It's a weird deal. And this thing could be totally upside down or the other way around. I don't know. I'm totally baffled by this team after this weekend.
I think one of the most interesting stories for this season, Dan, has been the job that Steve Montgomery has done. Clearly, he's had bigger winning seasons, 75 wins in 2015. He won 72 a few years after that. But the job I think he's done is just amazing. Watching this go on all season, what are your thoughts about the job that Steve has done this year?
I've been blessed to work with Greg Taggart, Joe Cafietra, and Steve Montgomery. They all have passion. That's the one key they all have. They do it a different way. But this guy has passion then some. I mean, he's got, like, steroid passion. I mean, this guy's got, like, an oozing out of his body. This guy's got passion. He works tirelessly. I mean, he's in that office early, in that office late. I mean, we had so many great conversations that I think back on the course of the year. And he's just one of those guys that, you know, he wants it, man. He wants it for Sioux City. He wants it for the organization. He is Sioux City. He really has embraced that whole Sioux City Explorer thing. He's embraced, taking over and taking the reins from Ed Noddle, who, was the winningest manager in the franchise, and now he's taking the 500 wins. I mean, just to watch him, it's amazing. He's got such a fun demeanor because he's one of those guys, too, that I don't think people realize this unless you work there. He cares about everything that goes on, from the guys in the ticket window to the folks in the press box, to the, a lot of these managers show up and they make their lineup card out and they go to BP and they kiss the babies, shake hands with the owner. But this guy is part of the organization in every sense of the word. I mean, he is in the office every day saying hi. He knows what's going on. He'll ask me how I'm doing and, what's going on. I feel like I can confide in him in the good and the bad that goes on in the league. And he cares. So he's a real passionate guy. And I've been so blessed to watch what he does. And I knew him before, but I didn't know him like I have now, like watching him every day. And so I just say passion and then something. Yeah, steroid passion, I guess. I don't mean like steroids, but like he's passion on steroids, man.
I recall you telling me, he said, when you arrived in Sioux City, welcome to the dark side. Has the dark side been as dark as you expected it?
Oh, it's been everything I had no idea, to be honest with you. I mean, I always saw Sioux City from the outside, from Kansas City, a little bit from Gary, but saw it from the rivalry of the Monarchs and that whole, you know, T-Bones as well, but kind of the big bad bully that the Kansas City team was, and this little engine that could, that kind of scrapped with you but always caused trouble, and, you know, smaller town, you know, we're from the big city thing. And when I got there, I was amazed at how wrong I was, because, again, it's a passionate thing. You got to remember, you know, let me just put you this way. I was sitting at a local establishment a couple of weeks ago on a Monday. We were off, and I'm sit down, and two gentlemen who I had never met, never even seen, one of them recognizes my voice. He goes, "You're the guy on the radio in the morning," because I do the radio spot, you know, every morning for the recap. The other guy realized who I was. You see the ticket holder wearing an X's cap, and they both realized who I was. I was in Kansas City for all those years. No one knew who the heck I was and knew what I did for a living and cared anything about what I did. And so Sioux City's a different place. People do care. They care about the ball club. They care about the people that work there. They care about Steve. They've embraced me as an outsider, and I'm still not quite in the loop yet. I still got a ways to go to earn their trust, but no, it's just a different experience. And when he called me that day, I mean, it's the first thing he said, welcome to the dark side. And I'm excited to be a part of it. And the best part about this year from that standpoint is that there weren't many down moments against Kansas City, too. And I'm not afraid to admit that.
I would be remiss if we didn't address the elephant in the room when it came to Sioux City and the playoffs. And that is, what's the current condition that you know of for Solomon Bates?
Yeah, he's supposed to go to the doctor tomorrow again. I do know that. He came out of his last start with some stiffness and swelling in his forearm. It wasn't his shoulder or elbow. I don't think it went down over the weekend, but I do know that he, you know, today was a holiday, obviously Monday. He would have seen the doctor today again. The reports were good in Kansas City initially. But, again, you haven't seen the doctor, the team doctor back in Sioux City. My guess, and this is only a guess, that he's probably day-to-day, and I would not be shocked if you don't see him until the latter part of the week. That would not shock me at all, but I haven't heard one way or the other. But, again, I think that the big thing is that, you know, they just want to make sure he's okay. They're not going to throw anybody out there unless he's 100%, and, you know, he's – you know, going to be one of the pitchers of the year candidates and has a good chance to get that, I think. And, you know, I would think if you see him, it'll be probably Friday or on Saturday or the next round. But, again, it's hard to say because, again, they don't have any diagnosis and won't have that until Tuesday, and they've got to make a call on what they're going to do on Wednesday before that time. So I imagine he's probably Friday at the earliest, if that's the case.
Now, I know the rest of the staff's been a little banged up, too. How's the general health of the rotation going into the playoffs?
Pretty good. I think Austin Drury, who I just guess, and this is just a guess, he's pitched really well in the stretch, would be the guy on Wednesday. He's been really, really solid. I talked to him the other day. He still feels good. You know, Trenton Toplicar, who missed the better part of a month, and they get hit in the head with the ball in Winnipeg, he seems to be, you know, in great spirits, great health. I mean, he's, you know, not had to pitch a lot. Mitchell Verberg, who's pitched pretty well. I mean, he's, at times this year, Verberg's been the best pitcher in the league. And he hasn't had a complete body of work because he did have, you know, the whole injury thing, the injury bug hit him here and there. But he appears to be fine and ready to go as well. So I think the rotation, and you throw in John Sheeks as an innings eater, and John, you know, has an eight-inning performance against Fargo already. And, you know, he adds some depth right there. And Jared Weatherby pitched really good over the weekend against Chicago at a hard-luck loss on Saturday. So you've really got a deep rotation. I don't think anybody – and there's a couple teams that got a 1-2 punch that are really good. But you've got some options down there. And if you had to combo pull out of them in a do-or-die game, I feel pretty good about it.
Dan, you've got to watch this team all season long. I know you're a person who really likes those storylines around a club. So what are some interesting stories from this season that really have stood out for you?
Oh, boy. Well, Mongo's 500. The Solomon Bates story, without getting into it, I think it's a phenomenal story. I think it shows a lot about courage, and you know my love of the Negro Leagues Museum in Kansas City. Those guys were very courageous. I mean, Solomon's a courageous young man. He's been a team leader, and the most interesting thing about Solomon is he's a great pitcher. I've loved being around him, watching him as a leader, as a person, as a human being, and as a person who's had in his family have had some issues but some similar storylines. My oldest, I do appreciate him as an example. I know he was so kind and special to my wife this year, so I've enjoyed that. I've enjoyed, getting to know Bobby Post. Bobby Post I didn't know him that well. I knew of him. We were high, and how you doing? But Bobby's a really cool dude, man. He's a really cool guy. And what he does in the community with his company, he rescues children that are in need of foster homes and kids that are trying to stay out of jail. He's really involved in that. He's a phenomenal guy with those kind of things. And he's also a great pitching coach and a passionate guy. I love that. I love the whole, Tom Backmeyer's come in and they brought a really, John brought a really, solid guy in at the GM who's got a baseball, background from the California League and the Northwest League. And that's been great to get to know him. And just in general, the whole history of the team, the history of the area. I mean, people don't realize, think of Sioux City, Iowa, but it's got a long baseball history going back to the 1880s of really impressive stories, and I've unearthed so many fun stories from different places. Like my favorite one, I think I told you guys already, is the mascot they had back in the early 1900s. This pig, this pig was a mascot. And he got away, and the hobo tried to corral him and eat him, and the team went crazy and went and found him. It's just crazy stuff like that I've found out. So many fun storylines. The most important thing I think is my wife and I feel like we've been blessed to be part of the Siouxland.
I think every year you see in the postseason, Dan, there's always some unsung hero, a guy maybe didn't have a great year or whatever, but
absolutely,
all of a sudden rises up. Who'd be a guy you wouldn't be surprised if he was that guy in the playoffs?
Vince Fernandez. I think Vince Fernandez, who's been at AAA, knocked the door of the big leagues. He's had it up and down here. He's been a little banged up, but he led the team in RBIs very quietly. Matt Lloyd is a stud. That kid's a top five player in the league. It ain't even close. Vince Fernandez is sort of the guy, he had 7 RBIs the first weekend against Kansas City, and you thought, okay, this guy won't be here but a couple of weeks. And he kind of, he still led the team in RBIs, but he's had really ups and downs. I think Vince will have a really good series against Fargo. I think he's the guy. And I also think, that you're going to see something special, perhaps. I mean, he's had a heck of a run right now with Fredo Jimenez and then Scott Oda. Scott Oda, if he'd have played all year for this ball club, he's a little banged up too, but if he played all year, he might be in the conversation for MVP candidate too. I mean, the kid's got, 15 multi-hit ball games in about a month and a half. But I think Vince Fernandez is my guy I would pick just because this is not a, this is a guy that's got a pedigree. And I think this is the kind of guys that usually, and he reminds me of a little bit, with not as much of a, maybe not as much of a wow factor, but remember Ale Longo a couple of years ago with the 2018 had a phenomenal playoff. And he kind of was okay, was decent, he was a power guy, but he had this great playoff run, and I think Fernandez is that kind of guy.
Talk to us a little bit about Sean Rakowski here, Dan. A phenomenal guy closing out games. His role in this team has been so instrumental to their success beyond just simply closing out the ninth inning, because they've had to use him in a bunch of situations to earn victories. How instrumental have you seen him to this club this season?
I think he's the best reliever in the league. The numbers, at least I think, show it. But he had to be, in those positions early. The team played all those extra inning ball games early. He was thrust in those extra inning roles, got a lot of losses, got a couple blown, not really blown saves, but situations that where, a reliever gets charged a loss. And once he got past that whole extra inning phobia, the extras started winning some ball games, in normal fashion, he really blossomed. And he's a guy that, he's a first pitch strike guy, strikeout guy. He's one of those guys that's, not afraid to challenge. And if he gives something up, he's not going to back down. And I think that's been the key to him. And really, he's been as consistent. I don't believe he hasn't blown a save since I think it was in the extra inning ball game in, believe it would have been in Sioux Falls, which, I don't count those, but they still count his blown saves, but he's only had a couple blown saves this year, and they were all in extra innings, what I'm saying. So he's not a guy that has meltdowns. He doesn't get a lot of traffic on. And if you got him going, look out for the two guys in front of him. The one real interesting addition that no one's really seen is Parker Kiraci, former Ole Miss closer. He's going to be a late inning option as well. So you've got those two guys in the back end, the eighth and ninth inning. If the X's can get there, it's going to be tough to really come back in this ball club.
Well, Dan, on that note, tell us when the Sioux City Explorers are hoisting the Miles Wolf Cup, what happened to make that occur?
Oh, well, Dan Vaughn, of course, guy of the team, like he always does well, with his fine broadcasting. He'll be hosting the trophy. He'll be drinking out of it. That Vaughn is all the coaches together, he's just like all the greatest ones. He's the Tom Landry and Bear Bryant of baseball. But no, I'm kidding. No, seriously, it's going to be the recipe. It's pretty simple. Good starting pitching, which is what this team does. Score five runs and lock you down, at least five runs, and lock you down the bullpen. Those three simple things and what they've done. I mean, they're not simple necessarily, but they're not going to score 12 or 13 runs. They're not going to, you know, they're going to flame out to the bullpen like they did today, generally. And they're going to get you good quality starting pitching. If they get a lead, that's the key. They're not going to come back. They're going to be wire to wire, and that's what's going to happen if this team moves on next week.
Well, Dan Vaughn, Miles Cup MVP. Thanks for joining us this for the show.
Thank you. Can I get that trademark, by the way?